Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa Enid DeBerry with Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all people. I'm Melissa. The show is sponsored by Trinity Counseling Services, Charlotte and Burleson, 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28206, and 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burleson, North Carolina, 27215. The phone numbers are area code 704-233-2446 and 336-675-0075. I'm Melissa. You can reach me at melissatrinitycounseling@gmail.com. Again, it's melissatrinitycounseling@gmail.com. Blog Talk Radio, Talk with Trinity. The name of the show is blogtalkradio.com. You can go there and you can look us up and you leave a message there. And you can also go to our website, trinitycounselingcharlotte.com. That's all of our contact information. You can like us on our Facebook page. And we just want to be out there capable of answering any questions. And what we don't know, we are wanting to answer it, and we will find that information out for you as far as drugs and alcohol is concerned, mental health issues are concerned, or just any other general questions or comments. And you can call in at 347-945-5924. Again, we wanted to say thank you, God, for allowing us to wait this morning. Thank you, God, for just allowing us to be on this side. Thank you, God, for the sunshine. Thank you, God, for even the rain. And, God, we just want to say thank you for continuing to bless us and our families. Thank you for continuing to keep us safe and protected. Thank you for providing for us and all of our needs. And thank you just for the ability to communicate with others. God, we just thank you as we travel on through this day that you will continue to be our guide and be our hands of protection about us and just lead us into wisdom, knowledge, and instruction in the way in which you would have us to go to fulfill the purpose according to you and your will. This morning, every morning I make a habit of speaking to my mother. I call my children's father and let them speak to him first, and then they go on about their day. I drop them off, whether it be at daycare or the after-school program that they are in or school or wherever they go, and I do try to set their mind on different things. This morning we're running behind, and I hope that the change in the way in which I normally set their day, I hope that, and we will see, it'll be an experiment to see if their day will be one way or the other one, depending on how it goes. And as with life, sometimes you get into a habit or routine, and then when you get thrown off, you know, you have to make some adaptations in your life, and sometimes that goes over well and sometimes not. Sometimes you have to go in a different direction and sometimes not. Sometimes you got to go outside of yourself and just do different things. But that's not our topic for today. The topic for today is a roller coaster. And I guess technically it is because, you know, when you get onto a roller coaster, you know, there are a lot of twists and turns and loop-de-loops and hills and valleys and things that you encounter, and just being able to ride it and know that it just doesn't last very long is probably most important. But so anyway, this morning, goodness, as a culmination of the day, you know, I travel pretty frequently throughout the week, and I encounter different individuals in different situations, and some good, some not, and just having to figure out what to do and not falling apart and things like that. And as I mentioned in my kids, the scripture we find in 1 Corinthians 13 and 11, and basically it says, when I was a child, I think as a child I did things as a child, I acted as a child, but when I grew old, I put away those childish things. And I guess the reason that I'm mentioning that is because I had to share with some young ladies in the Cascade program in Charlotte on yesterday, and I didn't really know what I was going to say, and I told, you know, some of the ladies, I see some familiar faces once I walked into the place, and I'm really unassuming. I'm CEO of Trinity Counseling Services. I'm having created this business many years ago, and it was a vision of helping others, and there really was no dollar amount attached to the business. I didn't really think about that, because at the time I had a full-time job and I had a part-time job, and Trinity just was an add-on, and it was just a vision that came to me that individuals really don't know the full depth of what addiction and alcoholism was, and I didn't think that at the time that I was of any authority. I had gotten into the field of drugs and alcohol in 94. And then 4 years later, I realized that there was a scripture that addressed addiction. And the reason that I learned that is because I asked God. Because I asked God, God, what is it that I am seeing that is causing individuals to come in and out of a facility? I worked at a detox facility. And I just recall back working there when I was 23 years old, the real 23. And not the 23 that I say that I am now, but the real 23. Here I was, 23 years old, 1 year out of college, and was living on my own, and I had managed to obtain this job through recommendations from some mentors, and didn't really put a whole lot of emphasis onto the job. I just knew that my degree was in psychology. I was working at McDonald's, and I was working at a couple of after-school programs and daycares, and I just knew that, I mean, even though in McDonald's I may work my way to a management position, and in the at the daycare I was technically an assistant director, although I didn't see assistant director money, and at the after-school program I could have been a higher level of a program there, but of course it was only a few hours in the afternoon, part time, and I don't really know what the designation, you know, as far as making that a career, because if it's a part time job, I'm not real sure how you career of it, especially when you have bills. Anywho, I was able to participate in a volunteer organization and learn of career opportunities in the field of substance abuse through my mentors. I learned of prevention services. I learned of treatment. I learned of nonprofit organizations. I learned of for-profit organizations. I learned of leadership positions. And I learned that there were other individuals like myself who worked in different areas of the field. And so they encouraged me to apply to all of them. But I was grateful. And so the first job from my making an application to all of them was working at a detox. And back then, as a young person, I was not drinking, and I was not smoking. I was not doing any drugs. I was not hanging out. I was not doing any illicit behaviors, things like that. I was just a young person that was seeking and that was living on my own at the age of 23 and just trying to pay my bills and trying to make a career out of the 4 years, trying to make time work for me out of the years that I had been in college. I didn't want to waste 4 years. You know, I know that even now you got loans and grants and all of these things, and some colleges are worth upwards of $45,000 a year. And in hindsight, I'm thinking to myself, what in the world is worth $45,000 a year, $180,000? How much education can you possibly get that's going to be different from any other education that you get? And how is that going to be beneficial? And what job is going to meet the qualifications of the investment of $180,000 a year? Hence the reason why a good number of individuals opt out. One of my favorite rappers, this is a sidebar, is Kanye, and one of his earlier albums is College Dropout. He was in college, and he was like, part of his the skit was, you know, I got out of college, and he said he had finished, and they said, you had graduated. He was like, no, I was done. And of course, then he went back later on and got an honorary degree, and there were a lot of people that were kind of disgruntled about that, like he hadn't put in any kind of time and life experience towards visual arts and things like that. When you see any of his stage productions or any of his musical videos, if he has any say-so in those, then you can say, well, you know, that is, that, you know, doctorate level, if it's not but management level, because he's able to find people that can fulfill his creative vision, and he's not indifferent from the gentleman Chihuly, who was a glassmaker who had an accident, and what he sees through his eyes, he can't even blow the glass for. He has to be able to translate what he sees through his eyes to other individuals for them to blow the glass for him, and they attribute all of what someone else blows for him to him. So I don't understand what people say about that. But anyway, $180,000 of an investment towards education, I don't know. But I just know that 1 year out, and my other motivation was, I am originally from LaMance County, and here I am in Mecklenburg County, which is a more progressive, an urban area, not a rural, and I don't want to go home. This is motivation enough. I don't want to go home to nothing. I want to be something. So here I am, 23 years old, and back to the original scripture, when you see individuals suffering from addiction and alcoholism, and the disease concept says social problem, crucial, and chronic, and they look down and say, well, Melissa, what does that have to do with the original concept of a roller coaster? Well, it says the enemy goes out searching whom he may devour, and when it returns seven times stronger. And that's a paraphrase of the scripture that gave basis for what God showed me then. If you don't realize that if you're wrestling, you're not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, and it's always one I can't ever think of, but if you're not wrestling against an individual, then you must be wrestling against a spirit. You must be wrestling against. So if anger is not the person, then anger must be the spirit that lies in the person. And how is that tested, or how is that observed? Well, if you look at any of these different tragedies that we've seen, people want to put their hands on guns, their hands on mental health, you know, and all those things. And, yeah, okay, those are behaviors. However, thoughts and feelings that are behind them. If you think about anger as an individual and then see those people, because everyone describes them differently, but when you look at their faces, you see that's not them. You see that they it looks as if it was someone else, if they were possessed or consumed or assumed by a whole other being. It looks as if, but you don't know, because it's still the same person. And what are some references that are made just in the world? Just look at some of the movies, look at some of the books, look at Stephen King's book, Insomnia, where he's in the individual, and he describes seeing dark bubbles to death and green bubbles to ambient and red for anger. How is anybody able to observe those type of sights and it not be one book that I was reading, where it says, and the demons will go into an individual and transform them and morph them into creatures that were harmful. And people looking outside would say, well, all we saw was this individual. And the next thing we know, he got superhuman strength. And so if that superhuman strength that is described, does it not have an explanation? And so as I'm thinking about that and as I'm working in this field, and on yesterday I was reminded of this, because you have a lot of young ladies in a facility, some older, some younger, some white, some black, some Latino. You had just a different mesh of individuals, and they all are in there in levels of addiction, levels of motherhood, levels of lack, levels of loss. Some didn't have their kids, you know. And here I am preparing to present to them in the same manner that 23 years old, 21 years ago, I was preparing to present to the individual. I just kind of went in just like that, but to God with me, and just spoke the word. And the word basically says that here lies what you're going to encounter. Now, and that I can't really say God or Jesus, I can say it, and if you understand that and you open the door to it, then you just go in it. But in sharing with the young ladies, the image of a roller coaster came to me, and it says that when I was a child, I spoke as a child, and I did those childlike things. And I gave the girls, the young ladies, the information and shared and said, you know, roller coaster, the first known roller coaster was the sliding board. And when you look at the addiction continuum as drawn without the other side of it, the process of recovery, it looks like a big sliding board. So I give them the image. I said, without the ability to have a whiteboard to be able to draw the picture, if you see a sliding board, and you, as a child, when you go to get on a sliding board, you're scared. And if you go to some park, even now, many sliding boards where it's one step up, and then the kids get on and they slide down. And then they do it again, and then they do it again. I have children now, so my frame of reference is different. When I didn't have kids, I couldn't see it. But when you're small, you know, 9 months, and your parents, you know, you can sit up, or your parents sit you on the slide at 9 months, and the nine-month-old is the longest slide ever. And the parents hold on to them and things like that. And then as you get older, but then we get on the big slides, you know, that's way different. And then they have slides that are so incredible. The very first roller coaster was a huge slide that was coming out, in and out of a mountain, and you go from the top to the bottom. And I bet that, you know, because you pick up momentum and speed, and as I was asking the young ladies, they were talking about, I was like, well, who, you know, laying on your belly going down the slide, would never want to do that. Or going down the slide backwards, still would never want to do that. And then going down the slide with other individuals, and I say, as with addiction, you know, when you originally get on, it takes you everything you want to get up there, right? Because so when you're young and you're trudging uphill, but then if you want some excitement, which a lot of times individuals describe as the drugs that's given them, then you, next thing you know, you're sliding back down the hill, and you're going, wee, it's so fun, like a child, wee. But the wee, when you get to be an adult, the wee, people look at you kind of strange. People look at adults and they rationalize it with these extreme shows, you know, and now they've fashioned playgrounds and made competitions out of it for adults. But they're still slides, so it's technically still childish. But, you know, but it makes it a rationalization for adults to be on slides then. But if you see an adult at a kid's playground, sliding down a kid's slide, hanging around kids, people might think that's a little strange. Why are you around these kids? But when you're older, you put away childish things. But when you put away those childish things, you got to remember that you want the childlike feeling of exhilaration. You want the childlike feeling of joy. And many addicts want that original childlike feeling of excitement where nothing to lose and make an attempt to get that back. And I liken that to that roller coaster on the other side, which is the process of recovery. And many raise their hands to liking roller coasters and enjoying them. I attribute it to my love for roller coasters when I was much younger, but I'm a little more sensible now. There's some roller coasters that were not safe. Probably, you know, they were safe, but I probably shouldn't have been on them. I was scared to close my eyes, you know. But it was over in all of 50 seconds. And, you know, with recovery, once you get to 12, I said, they, research says once you get to about 12 months, 18 months, and address the things that need to be addressed, then you really don't have to worry about, say, the physical effects of the of the drugs and alcohol. You have to be more concerned about the emotional effects dealing with those with the support of others, which is riding down the slide with somebody. And just being not afraid to get on the roller coaster, because know that the end of the roller coaster of the process of recovery is a positive end. It's not a negative end. It's not in a valley. It's in a hill. It's a high. And it can stay that way. And you don't have to worry about relapse. But if you don't address the things that need to be addressed, the very reason, you know, I asked, well, how did you end up getting on the slide in the first place? Some people said my daddy made me. Or, you know, I had some friends and they dragged me to it. You know, as with addiction, sometimes when you first started to use it, somebody gave it to you. They technically made you do it. They bullied you into doing it, if you will. And then you got the exhilaration, and then you wanted it again, and then there were people that were willing to slide, get on the sliding board with you, or you were willing. And then once you got to such a point where they didn't know, no one wanted to ride on the sliding board anymore, either because they moved on or because the sliding board got to be too steep, then you would be willing to go it alone. Sometimes with addiction, the individuals end up finding themselves alone as they get into the latter part of it, whatever reason. People don't understand, especially the ones that got off the slime board earlier. They said, well, we got off, so why didn't you get off with us? Or why did you go back? Why did you keep going back to the slime board? And it's because you go to the slime board because you want that feeling, and you'll stay on that. But graduating to the roller coaster may have been hard, although there have been some individuals who have graduated to the roller coaster and enjoy the ride of stopping the use and relapsing so much that they stayed on it, moved to different places, went all over the world moving and getting on roller coasters and never thinking at some point the roller coaster ride needs to end, and it needs to end at a high. A lot of, you know, individuals will change locations, will end up moving from one geographical location to another. If you've done that, then you enjoy the ride of the roller coaster, but you don't ever want the roller coaster to end. You want to continually stay on that. Homelessness is a continual end of a roller coaster ride, which leaves you without having a place to stay, or not having anything to eat, or not having anybody around, or people always picking up and leaving you, or being left behind. Sadly, in the last few minutes that we are sharing about this roller coaster ride, sadly enough, my mother says that a family member died and nobody was at the funeral. Nobody was there. Nobody had nothing to say. Nobody but the preacher. It makes me wonder who organized the funeral. You know, the person, the deceased person knew at one point they were going to pass away and they organized their own funeral. I don't know. But to not have anybody there, how is that that you end up not having anybody there? How do you live all of your life and all of your days? And I'm going to venture to guess in the whole concept of the roller coaster, not knowing this individual, nor knowing anything about his behaviors, but perhaps it said jails, institutions, and death, and death. Perhaps that's where the roller coaster ride ended. And because of living a life a certain way, you end up being alone at the end of the ride. No one ever knowing that, you know, never really acknowledging your death. Not that that's important because you're dead, but that just means that was there anybody, nobody there? Of that was of any, you were not of any effect on anybody, that they didn't want to see you to the end, and that's a pretty sad ending to the end of a roller coaster for whatever reason. So in the last few minutes, we just want to process this whole roller coaster ride and the whole full culmination of it. and putting aside childish things, thinking of self, because imagine that selfishness ends that wins with loneliness. Loneliness creates depression, and depression, you know, creates, and I'm going to think that individuals that we have seen, that we see and continue to see, that are going through a lot, you know, and willing to commit themselves to death and suicide, I'm going to imagine that it's because they're in such a dark place that they don't see any way out or any way off of the roller coaster but just to die. So, dear God, dear Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you this morning. Thank you for just keeping us. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, just for speaking to us through your word. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for just giving us the information just through experiences that we've heard. Dear God, we just want to continue to pray that you allow us to live our purpose. And dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your knowledge. Thank you for your instruction. And God, dear God, as we go this day, and as we listen to the sound of my voice, dear God, we just pray right now that we don't want to go to the end. We don't want the preacher to have to lie. We don't want to be alone in our death. We don't want to be alone in our sickness, God. We don't want to be alone in the things that we're going through. We don't want to be alone in our thoughts. We don't want to be alone in our feelings. We don't want to be alone in the things we do. Dear Heavenly Father, most oftentimes when we are indulging in different behaviors, we are not alone. But when we decide to make changes in our lives, dear Heavenly Father, it seems like we are doing those things all by ourselves. And dear God, we just wanted to say thank you just for being a presence in our life. Thank you for sending individuals into our lives to encourage us. Thank you, God, for just allowing us an opportunity to speak, to listen, to hear, to interact with others. Dear Heavenly Father, not to let our memories, to be ashamed of the things that we have done, but just to know that you were there. God, you never leave our side. You are a provider, God. You are a keeper, God. You are a helper, God. We are created for you, God, and we just thank you right now. And as we go through our day, God, just give us the peace and knowing that you are God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Have a good rest of the day. Thank you.